His divine grace, Srila Abhay Charanaravinda, Srila Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembly bodies. All glories to C.C. Guru and Sri Ganga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Darasati Devam Gov Parani Charine Nirvase Sasunya Bhadi Paskatya Parani. We are reading this evening something extraordinary. I feel because most of the devotees here have been listening to a Krishna conscious philosophy since a few days, many hours. I will just give a brief lecture this evening, continuing where we left off this morning. As you might remember, we are discussing the 64 principles which help us engage in our Krishna conscious cultivation. And we have reached point number 20. So today, this evening, we will just briefly discuss 20 more points so that tomorrow morning we will be able to finish the 64 points and then have something to take home with and think about. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Darasati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Paskachari Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitaranda Yadveta Gadara Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The above mentioned 20 items are the doorway to devotional service, and among them the first three, namely acceptance of the spiritual master, initiation by the spiritual master, and service to the spiritual master are the most important. Then come the following items. 21. To hear about the Lord. 22. To chant his glories. 23. To remember him. 24. To serve and meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord and his devotees. Now the first, that means starting with 21, is actually the basis of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada once said, because I have heard nicely, therefore I can speak nicely. By hearing about Krishna, we will be able to chant his glories. And when we constantly chant his glories, talk a lot about him, then we will be able to remember him always. This is a subsequent result. It is a result which easily comes to someone who hears nicely and chants nicely. In this conditioned life, we often remember things of our past. Why? Because we were simply so engulfed in the past that the remembrance is very spontaneous. For instance, the remembrance of unpleasant activities comes to a devotee who has had a lot of contact with material life. Therefore, in order that we remember Krishna, we actually have to hear about Krishna. Whatever work you do for Krishna, if you can't remember him, after some time this work will become stale and you won't be inspired to continue. 24. To serve and meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord and his devotees. Sometimes the question is asked, why are the lotus feet so often mentioned to serve the lotus feet? Who thinks of serving the lotus? See, the only service you might think to do for someone's feet are cutting his nails. Much more easy to very difficult to imagine to do more. So why do we always say serve the lotus feet of Krishna? It is actually described that Krishna's feet are not different from Krishna himself. Now then, why don't we say serve the lotus hand? We say serve the lotus feet because the feet are a part of the body which is considered to be quite low. If I adopt the service of the feet, that means I'm putting myself in an inferior position. That's why foot bathing ceremony is very shocking for anyone who is not acquainted with the principles of bhakti, because it means such an immense amount of surrender. I still remember to this day when Prabhupada gave a lecture about how displeasing sexual activity is. And he quoted a verse by Yamunacharya who said, "Now where I am immersed in the remembrance of you, Krishna, Govinda, the thought of previous sexual activities is very displeasing to me. When I think about it, I spit at the thought." And Prabhupada got so much into it that actually when he said this, he went like this and spit on the thought, and it fell on the floor. So immediately the devotee came and made and I was very new. I thought, whew, very special activity. So because I like Krishna consciousness, I thought it is all right. It is also there are also many activities like this in connection to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, how they related to Lord Chaitanya. But here let us understand the principle. If you say, "I'm serving the lotus feet," or we say, "I'm falling into the dust of your lotus feet," and we say such things, it means we take a very humble role. To say, "I'm falling into the dust of the lotus feet," means practically, I'm ready to follow every instruction, even those instructions which might appear difficult in the beginning. So that's why we stress the lotus feet of Krishna. Also, when you stand before a respectable superior, you don't look immediately into his eyes, but you look down out of respect. So this is also why we say, serve the lotus feet. Twenty-five. To worship Krishna. That is, of course, one of the four most important principles in the Gita. Manmana bhavamat bhakto majjaji mang namaskuru. It is stated like this. Always think of Krishna, become his devotee, worship him, and offer your obeisances unto him. To worship Krishna, this for the non-pujaris can be done when they assemble at the time of the greeting of the deities. A devotee who lives in a temple should understand that it is his duty to appear before the deity. You cannot live a life of Krishna consciousness if you don't respect and worship the deity by at least appearing to the Mangal Aratik and to the greetings of the deities. That is how we worship him. We worship him at that time with prayers. Govindam Adi Purushang Tamahang Bhajami. We worship like this. 26. To pray to him. That is such a nice art, to pray to Krishna. Krishna, he says, that I will bring a little later. Prayers to Krishna make Krishna very sympathetic to the devotees. First of all, it is advised in the scriptures to pray authorized prayers. For instance, the Shikshastaka, the eight instructions of Lord Chaitanya, they are very nice prayers. And there are other prayers which are spoken by great devotees. By making sure that we pray like these devotees,
we will be sure that we don't bother Krishna with undue requests. Ungemäße bitten. Then 27th, of course, you are most probably aware that on each of these points one can easily use the space of a whole lecture to elaborate, but our mission here, our desire here, is to just collect the points which will help us in our Krishna consciousness. 27th, to think of oneself as the Lord's eternal servant. There is a nice shloka in this connection which says that Krishna takes that devotee immediately to him who says, from this day on, my Lord, I am your eternal servant. Just by saying this, of course, you have to mean it, we have to mean it and act accordingly, but think of oneself as the Lord's eternal servant. When someone asks you, who are you? Don't say, I'm a Croatian, or, anyway, that's, I'm a German, I'm a man, or I'm a woman, I'm a Sankirtan devotee, or I'm a pujari. Say, you are the servant of Krishna. I remember when we were drafted to the army, I also was called to join the German army. You won't believe it, but it is a fact. I came to the counter where they say personalities in Germany, die persönlichen Daten, the personal dates are recorded. So they asked me, what's your name? Sachinandan Das. I asked, what's your name? Not what is your fashion or your pop band, he said. No, Sachinandas, this is correct. And they asked so many questions, and I remember I gave answers, of course, at that time to avoid the military service. I said, they asked, what is your country? And I said, Koloka Vrindavan. And what else do they say? The best was, what's your length? They want to know how long you are. And I said, 1/10,000th of the tip of a hair. And anyways, there were many such nice answers, which were philosophically quite all right. And at that time I, of course, said, well, I just wish when I'm out of this trouble that I won't say these things just like I'm saying them now. At that time I just used our philosophy as a weapon to not become a soldier. It worked, by the way. I felt guilty towards Krishna because I noticed I have not realized these things. I'm just saying them for fun, to not be drafted in the army. So when it says here to think oneself as the Lord's eternal servant, as Krishna does, that this is a principle, you have to be sure Krishna is not like the army, who you have to say what you have to mean what you say or what you think. So approaching this point of servitorship is very important. If you go to think of it, that's what you are, a servant of Krishna, a servant of God, nothing else. Then 28th principle, to become the Lord's friend. Now this is a principle which is very difficult for us to adopt because it is already in the Raganuga category. However, also in Vaidhi Bhakti, that's the stage where many of us are on, that is where we practice Krishna consciousness according to rules, we can adopt a friendship attitude towards Krishna by just trying to make him pleasant. For instance, in the deity worship, no, this is not really an example, because the deities are worshipped with awe and reverence. What is it? To follow Krishna's instruction, because Krishna is our friend. Once a devotee said, what this means, he said, Krishna is my friend because he gives me prasadam. That means we should feel some gratefulness for what Krishna has done to us in our lives. That is a friendly attitude. Then, to offer everything to the Lord. I remember Prabhupada instructed the early devotees in this principle by telling even the guests in San Francisco that they should offer everything to Krishna. So the hippies came and brought their new blue jeans and offered to Lord Jagannath, because they thought with this extra special blessing the blue jeans would not be old too soon, and so on and so forth. So ultimately, to offer everything to the Lord is now in our modern ISKCON, where we know a little bit more, not that we just buy a coat and then bring it before the altar and the deity and offer it. It means to do whatever we do in the service of the Lord. A devotee should ask himself the question, is what I'm doing now, is that in the service of Krishna? That helps, this question. It helps to safeguard you against wasting time. Then, to dance before the deity. Sisi Radha Madana Mohana Ki. By dancing before the deities and raising the hands in jubilation, and also clapping in the hands before the deities, so many sinful reactions are leaving you. It is said, just like Raben, what is the English word, crows, leave a field when there is some clapping sound. In the same similar way, the crows of sinful reactions leave the heart of a devotee who dances and chants before the deities. Even if you don't feel like dancing, even if you don't, if you feel a little bit, the non-dancing mood, still move your feet, dance a little bit. By this principle, you will come in the fire of Krishna consciousness. You don't need to dance in an muscular way, that you think of, well, I ate so much prasadam for Nityananda's appearance day, now I must dance a lot to get it all out of the system again, so that I'm fit for the next meal. No, when you dance before the deity, think it's for the pleasure of the Lord. And don't dance exaggerated, don't dance so that others will look at you. Dance for Krishna, as nice as possible. To sing before the deity, that is clear. 32, to inform the Lord of everything about one's life. Now this is very interesting. In the beginning I said that we should not bother the Lord with prayers where we, so to say, burden him with our small little things. We should follow the example of the pure devotees and pray like they did. However, once this is clear, we can also take to the second form of prayer. That's a more spontaneous way. We can inform the Lord of everything about our life. We can say, "My dear Lord, here I am, 1992. I'm suffering due to a specific material desire which I cannot get out of my thought. Please be so kind to help me." You might say, "Well, the Lord is already within the heart. Why are you informing Him? He knows more. He knows everything." But see, it's a personal relationship. When you meet someone, you say how you feel. I'm feeling like this. It is so nice, this temple with the nice flags. This, for instance, I think everyone will immediately feel it has such a nice atmosphere with these festive flags. So when you meet someone who is close to you, you immediately reveal your mind to him. And then he becomes very pleased with you. You may say, "Well, I'm going to Mayapur, and this thought just enthuses me very much, and I'm overthinking about this." Or you may say, when you meet a friend, "Oh, I'm thinking very much of Vrindavan these days. It is just so nice to just remember the Yamuna and the Govardhan." And so this is what is meant, to inform the Lord everything about one's life. This is important to cultivate a personal relationship. Then, 32, to bow down before the Lord. I think we will just mention here, we'll put it together with 34, to offer respect to the spiritual master and the supreme Lord by standing up at the appropriate time. Now, there are two ways of showing respect. One is to bow down. When you bow down, the most important thing to be bowed down or put down is your mind. In obeisances where you don't think of Krishna and offering some prayer, that is not a real obeisance. Like, for instance, the Hindu style. Or, you know, the sportsman style. He will jump into the temple, touch his head to the ground, and next second he's up and talks. You know, this is not really what we mean with obeisance, a real obeisance. Now, the other is, before a superior, the spiritual master, and when the deity passes on a palanquin, you shouldn't sit. You go to your feet, Hare Krishna, respectful. Okay. I don't know if you as young boys and girls, I almost said, not so old, but a little older, know this. In our modern society, this is not there. But as a child, I was always trained, when some older person came, we had to get up, greet him. Yes. That is what we do when the spiritual master passes. Stand up. Yes. 35. To follow the spiritual master or the supreme Lord in procession. That refers to the tradition of carrying the deity on a procession through his land, or showing the spiritual master different things. We do this here in our farm during the summertime, during festivals. For instance, you can see even at Nrisimha Chaturdasi, Lord Nrisimhadev is taken around the whole temple room. And during Jamashtami, we take Krishna around on a palanquin, and so on and so forth. So a devotee should not talk at that time with his with other devotees. if it is not absolutely necessary and cannot be done at another time. No, one should respectfully follow such a procession as a sign of respect. This is also helpful. Also, when the spiritual master comes, we give him a reception. I remember always, it's so nice how the devotees greet Srila Harikesh Maharaj. He comes, there's a great reception team. When he leaves, they all come. Jimuta was always very good in it. Even when it stormed and there was rain, he was there with his five boys and giving a send-off party. This is helps us to honor the representative of Krishna. So we should follow the spiritual master or the supreme lord in procession. 36. To visit places of pilgrimage and temples of the supreme lord. That is what most of you will be, will be doing during Gopunim time. You will travel around the Gormandal Parikram, and you will see a lot of nice temples. When you visit these temples, always make sure to make an obeisance and pray to the deity of that temple. Then you will see, when you are back in your respective preaching area, you will see a wonderful energy of empowering you. It will be in the air. So to visit places of pilgrimage and temples is important. For instance, you have come here now to this place. It's a place of pilgrimage where we come during festival times and assemble together, look at the deities, and try to also do some service. When you visit a holy place, don't just come as a sightseer. Try to think of a service you can do. Now, when you go to Sisi Radha Madana Mohana Ki Jai. When you are, of course, in an ISKCON temple like this, there is lots of service to do. And when you have some time, I mean, the major service is, of course, to do Shravanam and Kirtanam. You do so many services all around the year. So when you come, you should do that service, Shravanam and Kirtanam, but also other small services are required. Now you might ask, what should I do when I'm on Navadvip Mandal Parikram? And I will give you an information which is not often known by the devotees. Take some coins with you, some small rupees or paisas. You can change them before temples or at the bazaar or at our pujari department in Mayapur. They have tons of small coins, so you can get them. And when you go to a temple, don't go without an offering. Give some small change, maybe a rupee or two, because that will be used in the service of the deity. Srila Prabhupada always offered a little donation. It also makes, in addition to serving the deity, it's also some nice preaching. See, these pujaris, they know, having come here, you have spent more money than they see the whole life. Just the flight of maybe 1,500 marks back and forth is probably more than a simple sadhu or pujari sees in his whole life. I'm not really sure. It just seems to... I have not figured this out, but it's so much they can't imagine. So you're coming there. You're dressed in the best clothes. Your faces are healthy from the nice prasadam which you take, and so on and so forth. And they don't even have enough Lakshmi to repair the roof over the deity. So if you come there and you say, no money, I'm brahmachari, it looks bad. Because even the little widow, the old widow, you know, when she comes before the deity, she picks, you know, one paisa and just throws it there. And one paisa, I can't even express how little this is. It is less than a pfennig. Much less. So take a little as a service. This is what Prabhupada wanted, and what we do. When we went on Braj Mandaparikram, we had a servant who had to give every altar a little donation. So to visit places of pilgrimage and temples of the Lord. Yes. To cultivate a relationship to these places means to do some service. Just like a person who is of a superior caliber than you, to cultivate a relationship, you should do service to him. Then, next point, to circumambulate the temple. Now here in this wonderful temple, we have a nice stone way, which you can't see so nicely because the snow is still here. But in the summer, if you come, it looks like a paradise, and there will be trees and benches to sit on, chant, and also discuss with the devotees, so on and so forth. But don't remain sitting on the benches. Circumambulate. The Nectar of Devotion says, if you circumambulate the temple three times, you have the same benefit as if you would go through all the holy places in the universe. Isn't that nice? Yeah. So, circumambulating is done by keeping the right side of the deity on one's right side. To put this into practical terms, it means Krishna is there, his right side is here, so to say. When you look, it's your left side, but it's Krishna's right side. So on that side, you should keep that side on your right side. That means in this temple, you would have to go this way around. Not this way. That is not the right way of doing parikrama. This way it has to be done. Any temple keeps a parikram path. If possible, even in Heidelberg we have a parikram path. It goes through the betong and everything. Because that is not... that's a temple right in the city. And you can also circumambulate. Then... 38, to recite prayers, we had this. 39, to chant the Lord's name softly to oneself. This brings us to an interesting point. Japa should be done softly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I think we don't need to say this loud and so on. Imagine Krishna hears you. Would you like if someone says your name very loud? You wouldn't like it. It's very disrespectful to shout one's name. To say it softly, this japa. And 40, to chant the Lord's name loudly in congregation. That's the sankirtan. So, Hare Krishna, this evening, as was announced, we just wanted to continue with these principles which are taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and which help us to inspire our devotional service. Sometimes devotees are, so to say, feeling that their life remains stale and they have not spiritual inspiration. Sipaladna Shingadeva ki jai. And to help these devotees, we want to read this list. We will finish tomorrow morning the last 23 points, and then we have something very practical to take home. So it's also a little late, and we have been hearing so many subjects today, so we want to end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.